Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Clean about something. I wasn't just a regular Orion teenager. I was trained to be a Syndicate assassin.
Tendi, yeah, we know, girl. You can't just say you're joking around when you kickflip a knife out of the air.
Your upbringing was quite obvious.
I just hate that you guys had to see the real me.
Tens, the real you is the one who geeks out about science on the Cerritos.
But I'm a prime, you know, a trained assassin. It's the most piratey someone can be.
Incorrect. You are who you choose to be. A Starfleet lieutenant and a loyal friend.
Don't worry. We know you're a big nerd and not some hot assassin.
That is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me!
Hold on, I gotta get back to my note business.
Here's my microphone business.
Right in my face.
So we started?
we can start anytime.
I thought we already started. Okay. I was going.
That counts.
Okay.
Welcome
to the It's Got Star Trek
I'm getting
podcast.
Limbered up over here.
That counts as starting the thing. Can you wiggle that thing real quick?
Oh, I can wiggle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it goes.
Unwiggled.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so...
We're good.
So wiggly.
We're wiggling the thing, and it's time to go. Welcome, everybody, to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Whoa. Dan's just jumping right in there. What was that? Say that again.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
That's pretty good.
You know, it's an interesting cadence that you've used there. It's not your standard Dan cadence.
It's like a...
God damn it. My sound wasn't up.
MTV.
Jesus. I was going so pro.
You're going pro.
I was going pro. Say that again, Patrick.
What did I say?
You complimented me.
What was that? Oh, was it a compliment or merely an observation that you had an odd cadence?
Thank you.
Did that guy say thank you?
Yeah, that guy said thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
It sounds to me like he's saying side clue and not thank you.
Thank you.
It does sound like that.
Okay.
Great. That's all I hear.
All right. But anyway, you were saying, Dan, Jesse's making weird mouth sounds.
Everyone loves weird mouth sounds.
Dan decided to start the
podcast. Especially
on
a podcast.
Yeah.
There's the ASMR nonsense.
But you got to be ready for it before you do it.
Should we do an ASMR special?
And do people chew weirdly in ASMR, like with pickles and goop and pudding and stuff?
We do.
That's what I mean,
is the general public wants to be signed up for ASMR before they get some ASMR, I would think. I'm assuming. I'm making an assumption. I have no evidence to back it up.
You don't want some kind of guerrilla action.
Yeah, so my only evidence is that people always talk about how angry or upset people. I shouldn't put the blame on the people. It's not their fault they're upset, but it's upsetting to people, a lot of people, when they hear certain sounds
like mastication.
Mastication.
It can be upsetting to hear unexpected mastication.
Upsetting mastication.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Okay,
it's got upsetting mastication.
All right, so yes, it's got Star Trek. I think Dan got that part. I can't even remember what you said. You said most of the beginning bits.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
That's right.
Is that what this is?
With the odd cadence.
So yes. Season 4, episode 4 of Lower Decks called Something Borrowed Something Green.
Okay, that's more your standard cadence.
That's my standard cadence?
That's more the standard cadence. Well, your standard weird cadence.
My standard weird cadence.
When
okay.
You're being weirdly performing.
That's interesting. I'm appreciating this outside perspective because to me, I'm just doing my thing. But like, and then then when I was trying to not do my thing, I was ending up doing more of my thing. And it took an outside...
That's how it works.
It took a second set of ears, a third, second and third set of ears to point that out. So, and I, to me, inside my head, it's something totally different.
The creative process is a wondrous and mysterious thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This week, we will be creating a podcast episode.
I said that.
In which we discuss...
Create a podcast
Star Trek,
episode.
Lower Decks, Season 4, Episode 4?
Four. Pretty sure.
Something, make my foot.
Something borrowed.
I just said that.
And something green.
I said that.
Nobody was listening, though.
I thought you said that, but I wasn't 100% sure, so I thought just in case, you know... For just to get, to dot all our I's and J's and
right.
T's.
Cross the J's.
Cross the T's.
I said no, yeah. Mr. Rutherford!
Yeah, that was a good one.
If it's all right with y'all, I have three quick points of order.
Okay.
The first point of order, this is totally uninteresting. Both, all three of these are totally uninteresting. Just to be prepared.
Hold on.
You're asking both the audience and your co-hosts.
Yeah.
Of an entertainment podcast.
Yeah.
Because we're not offering much useful information here.
Mm-hmm.
This is mostly meant to be a sort of a casual diversion while people sweep up the mess from last night, that sort of thing.
Whoopsie doopsie.
You're prefacing this segment that you're about to introduce.
As boring.
as totally and utterly boring.
Yeah.
Please continue.
So number one, when I was marking my sounds, while I watched the episode the second time, I mark the timestamps of each sound.
Because you're the keeper of the sounds.
Right, the keeper of the sounds.
Dan is the keeper of the sounds.
Yes.
Of the majority of the sounds.
Yes, indeed. The escucholero, as some might call.
Your time will come.
Jesse is the keeper of the threats.
Yes.
The occasional...
So,
inexplicable threats.
Here's something.
Threats of violence.
Here's something I found interesting. Last week and this week, I counted, and by the end, I had marked the same exact amount of sounds last week and this week. And
you're shitting me.
I am not. And you know what's even more interesting? This is unprecedented. What I'm about to say next. Normally, I mark the sounds, and then some of them I don't use because they don't work out. But I usually end up with a few more because I find, like, as I'm doing it, I find more. Afterwards, my adjusted sound count for last week and this week were also the same.
Your adjusted sound count.
Yes.
So that's you. First of all, you claim this is an interesting fact, this coincidence.
Well, there was two coincidences.
Number.
Yeah.
The initial coincidence that you claim that's interesting is already pushing it. But then,
hell yeah.
But then when you introduce this concept of an adjusted, like you're performing an algorithm to adjust the numbers,
right,
to conform them in some fashion.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a little misleading because it's not going against a curve.
Sounds like bad
you're
science.
You're right. You're right. It's technically not adjusted because adjusted implies an algorithm.
Well, I'm slightly concerned because this is number one of a list of what, three things?
So, So anyways, I marked the same amount this week and last week, and I ended up with the same amount this week and last week, but both those numbers were separate relative to each other. Number two.
They were separate relative to each other.
Mm. Meaning I marked a different amount than I ended up with, and for both weeks, those numbers equaled.
I will freely admit I'm thoroughly confused.
I think we're going to have to stay tuned.
Let's say I marked down four sounds, but then I ended up with seven sounds.
I don't
sounds.
Know what markdown means.
Meaning, like, put the timestamp as I'm listening to the episode.
Okay, all right.
I'd be like, okay, there's one there. And let's say I did five of them. And then when I actually pulled them out, I end up with seven. Because that's...
So sometimes it's four, sometimes it's five, sometimes it's seven.
What?
I think I see what you're saying.
I honestly thought I was getting it, but I'm not. I'm
when
not.
I listen to
you're marking stuff.
Yes.
And you think you've marked a certain amount, and then when you go back to check it out.
When I go back to actually.
To extract it.
I usually end up extracting more than I intended. Yeah. I find extra ones.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
There's extra extraction.
I gotcha.
Yes. And
while, this is interesting in some fashion.
Because last week, let's say I marked five.
Some fashion.
But ended up with seven. This week, I also marked five and ended up with seven. The actual numbers okay. are different. But the point being is that I got the same amount for both weeks marked and then a separate number that was the same amount that I ended up with for
that
both weeks.
That is truly Fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy. The odds are astronomical.
Okay.
Well, number two.
Number two.
Number two.
I was thinking about last week when we played the game, what problem does Patrick have with this episode?
The game was, what is Patrick's primary critique? I have a new game this week, by the way.
Okay, my argument is that I actually won that game. I guessed it correctly, but I guess I didn't put it in the exact correct order of words.
Did you win that one?
Well, Patrick said none of us got it, basically.
I gave you credit. I think I said you got points.
I think you said,
you deserve the points.
Well, I think Patrick said, you almost got it. Something to that effect.
Okay, that's
well, because and you I think you... I did get it.
Well, okay.
Because, I brought up 2 points where I was like, this was predictable. This ended up in a predictable plot, and this ended up in a predictable plot. Now, your problem was the plot was predictable. Now, they were slightly different focuses, but my point was there was predictable aspects, and your point was predictable aspects. Maybe those aspects we were focusing on were different, but we both felt that it was a predictable episode.
I'm just going to point out that you risk actually talking about this week's episode. You're getting pretty close to talking about this week's episode.
Okay.
And I don't think you want to do that just yet.
Number three.
Because you still have number three of list of three to talk about.
I was listening.
And I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of bonus item as well.
No, there's not. I promise you.
Often with Dan, there's a bonus item.
Yeah, not this time.
Or I just remembered item.
Yeah. No, not this week. I actually wrote them down. So I was listening to parts of episode 200 for whatever reason, and I was talking about
three in the
for
morning.
For whatever reason,
3 a.m. You're just listening to listeners heap praise upon us in the darkness.
Hell yeah!
go listen to episode 200,
it's like,
folks.
I'm not able to sleep until I hear some.
Episode 200 was
battery of compliments.
It was a fun episode.
Whoopsie doopsie,
fun episode.
I misspoke about, I was talking about certain British dialects and sometimes end words in R. They add an R to the end.
Really?
Yeah. What I said in the episode is I said if the next word begins with a consonant, they end...
Like banana?
If they said banana...
Jamaica.
What I said is if they would add an R to the end of banana if the next word began with a consonant. That was incorrect. What I meant to say, they would add an R to the end if the next word began with a vowel. Mm. So if they said the banana goes, they would just say banana goes. But if they were saying that banana awesome, they would say that banana awesome. I know that's not, that's confusing because that's not really a sentence.
Oh no, it's not at all confusing. But it's great.
So I meant to say vowel, not consonant. It's if the next word begins with a vowel. And this is a thing. It's called the intrusive R. And it's some British dialects do this.
You're missing the verb.
Where I know, but that's why it was confusing because that's totally not the point of what I was saying.
I thought you said you wrote these down.
I didn't write down an example. Okay. The banana goes versus...
Where does the banana go? I'm quite intrigued about where this banana goes.
The banana goes versus the banana exits.
No one knows where the banana goes.
Versus the banana exits. If you were to go... So it wouldn't be... It would be banana goes, but it would be banana exits. That's the intrusive R.
Banana exits.
And
who can guess where the banana exits?
And, I have more confidence.
And I apologize. This is an editing...
I don't know where it goes, but I can guess where it exits.
There's only a few exits.
This is an editing note. I apologize for misspeaking. It's not when the next word begins with a consonant. It's the next word begins with a vowel. And this is a thing I looked up on the internet.
Right.
After I noticed it, I was like, is this a thing? Or am I making this up? And I looked it up, and it's called the intrusive R. It's a thing. Not all British dialects do this, but some of them.
Right. It's not everybody.
Yeah. All
right.
Well, I do like this new this new feature.
Points of order.
No, we're going to offer this new feature in which Dan goes back and listens to old episodes of the podcast and makes
apologizes,
makes corrections. Only the things that he said.
Right.
That's the stuff.
Even if the podcast
Dan Arata
happened quite some time ago. Okay.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We do have...
What are we going to do?
I did want to do some listener email stuff, but let's do that. We'll do that at the beginning of the second break. Because I want to get...
Oh, the second break?
We've been talking a lot without getting into this episode. People want to...
Blast me with more moans!
People want to talk about this episode.
We should bust out.
We should start talking about this episode, and then when we get to the second break, we can do listener email
This episode has Orion lower decks.
A little bit, yeah.
It starts out with a little bit.
With those,
it goes from my leg and wraps around up my neck.
Later on, they got a lot of bit.
Okay, so this episode, I was going to mention the game. Last week, the game I invented was what's Patrick's primary critique of this episode?
Beautiful.
This week, the game is what's Patrick's primary praise of this episode.
Triple threat, girls trip.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff.
Well,
what's Patrick's praise of the episode?
Yeah, primary praise.
Primary praise.
And lots of praise for this particular episode. And I liked last week's episode. Just to reiterate, for those who may not have listened to last week's podcast episode, I tried to stress, I did thoroughly enjoy the episode. I just found that all three of the storylines, they were just, it was just a predictable how they played out.
You get a lot more attendee backstory.
Yeah, here you get a lot of Tendy backstory. That's some praise, but that's not my primary praise.
That's not the primary praise.
My primary praise.
The primary praise.
It have to do with...
Let us guess.
Did it have to do with Talyn at all?
No, again, like last week, it's more structural.
Yeah, and I was wondering... structural. Purely structural. Okay, purely structural.
Talyn was a pretty minor part of this.
Was there a structural misdirect that you enjoyed?
No. I mean, I... I don't waste too much time on this.
Okay.
Because really it's just the opposite, which is this week's storyline.
To Mozart.
The whole thing about a character goes and deals with some family drama or whatever. Mm. This is in some ways similar to Ezri Dax in season 7 of Deep Space Nine. There's that whole episode where she goes back and deals with her family, and there's even Orion Syndicate stuff involved there and stuff. But the idea being you have a character and they have some family stuff. That's nothing particularly new, but... Unlike last week, I thought the way the storyline played out was unpredictable. There was many paths they could have gone down, and you never knew exactly 100% which path they were going to go down.
I kind of said that. I said structural misdirects. I did say that. I said structural misdirects.
That sounds like something you would say.
I did just say that. So it's not quite maybe what you meant, but it is.
You take the verbal grease. You slop it all over things, you squeeze them into whatever fucking box you want.
I said, because you said it takes unpredictable paths. I was like, does it involve structural misdirects? And you were like, no, it's unpredictable. Because I'm like, that's the same thing.
No, because I don't think of it in terms, if we're being nuanced about this, and we shall.
We shall. With whom?
Lick my foot.
It's not about Mr. Rex because, again, the storyline, everything played out in a very sensible fashion. The other thing that's great about this episode, which Lower Decks just generally does really well, is all the drama and the action, the motivations, they all make sense with the characters, right?
Yeah.
It's really high quality writing in that all the actions do not veer from what you'd expect the character to do. And they can still surprise you. That's the thing, is that that does not mean you have a predictable, boring character. It just means that if they're surprising you, they're still surprising you in a way that kind of makes sense. And I thought they did that here with the Tendy storyline, with her sister, with her family, and introducing all this information to us that she is similar to Billups, sort of has the fancy upbringing.
They were her family were like mega gangsters, basically.
Right,
and it was funny because she was fitting in all the stereotypes to the point where Talyn's notes were all just like stereotypes.
Yeah.
She's like, no, oh, you know.
Yeah.
So I have a list of Talyn's notes, but we can go over that later.
I too was alarmed.
There was the B story was kind of
Brotherford.
The Brotherford thing was kind of I don't know really what was gained or lost in that whole thing.
Nothing can stop Brotherford.
See, again, I really liked it because it was so silly.
It was so silly. There was nothing really ended up. What I liked, I will say there was a couple misdirects, I will say, in that.
All right, let's list them out.
Number one.
Misdirect number one.
They set it up as if it was going to be your sort of traditional sort of good friends are not going to get along as roommates, right? And that whole plot, which they started with, but they resolved that right away.
Yeah, you know?
They did it right away. So I liked that.
Again, it was not a Jake and Dog situation.
Right.
An old style story. But done in a new way, in an interesting way.
And it just kind of went bonkers. But it's like, it was after that, it just kind of went bonkers.
Well, the thing is, again, it fit their characterizations.
It turned into a holodeck story.
Because both Boimler and Rutherford, in most contexts, tend to be fairly non-confrontational. Now, they can both of them can be flip out as well, but they both tend to avoid confrontation. Mm-hmm. But they also have control issues where in certain contexts, they really are controlling, right?
Yeah.
And this story is as slight as this story was. It was a great example of what happens when all those character traits overlap and it results in them going mad, getting violent with each other almost.
Pony.
And then, of course, I agree with you. It got increasingly
whoopsie doopsie.
It got increasingly silly where they were like, oh, in the context of this holodeck is what led to the peace, and so they of course make suggest that to Captain Freeman.
The basic beats. I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Jesse? You were going to say something?
Well, that was just really funny how it's like Mark Twain, and they're both Mark Twain, and they figured out like that's how they can like resolve stuff. Like what would you
guys? That dog won't hunt.
Who would you guys be? For your little bits that you guys get into, who would you?
I don't know.
If you had access to a holodeck program,
you, sir, are as clever as an alley cat on his 10th life.
Would you be like, you know, Leonardo da Vinci or like Lyndon Johnson?
Lyndon Johnson. You'd be Lyndon Johnson.
That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it?
Lyndon Johnson waving his giant penis everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Flopping his giant penis on people. Right. Look it up, folks.
Look it up.
Right. President Lyndon Johnson liked to intimidate people with his penis.
Vote for this bill. Slap you in the face.
It's a good question, Jesse. It's a good question. Which character would we do? I don't know. I something appealed to me about this whole using the Samuel Clemens Mark Twain character, and specifically the reference, the sort of soft Easter egg to the Time Zero two-parter in TNG.
Yeah, right. He's in that one.
Right? And then, of course, there are many Twain references and quotes throughout Star Trek.
I say you are incorrect, sir.
Lawyer.
I say you are incorrect, sir.
Lawyer. I don't know. That's really funny. Lawyer. Yeah, so the beats of that plot was basically like they love each other. There's trouble in paradise. Their shared love of Little Boney starts an argument over who gets defeated.
By the way, Little Boney.
Little Boney.
It's just a funny name for a bonsai tree. I get it because it's bonsai Boney.
Yeah,
I'm no expert, but like I don't think the Mark Twain. Like the Samuel Clemens that looked like that of that sort of that age, like he wasn't hanging out on a riverboat. Like he was.
Holodecks don't need to conform to historical accuracy.
He was living in like upstate New York.
So the point. So we're getting to that there. Anyway.
Dan's completely ignoring.
Yeah, no.
I was in the middle. No, I was just. We're almost there. We're almost at that.
We're
part.
We're almost at the part.
No, I was just starting to list the beats of the plot.
Oh yeah,
listing
yeah.
the beats
Hit
of the plot.
It.
I'm okay. enjoying it.
So they got into an argument over who gets defeated. Like they're fighting over who gets to do chores, basically. And then Rutherford's like, "Well, I got techno knowledge," and Boimler's like, "I got natural knowledge."
He's like, "I got dubstep knowledge."
Mr. Rutherford.
So they end up
got jungle knowledge.
I said no, Mr. Rutherford.
Dubstep drum and bass knowledge.
I said no, Mr. Rutherford.
Because you said one of them had techno knowledge and the other one has like
drum and bass knowledge. Yeah, that was a good
or dubstep knowledge.
That was a good. That was
one
a good
of them
joke.
Has, like, I mean, acid house.
Your mileage may vary.
So they immediately find common ground. Like with this whole dress up thing. At first, they're mad. Because
I think Common Ground is the name of an episode of maybe what Enterprise.
So they immediately find initially they're upset because they both dress up as the same guy, and then they immediately like get along about it. And yeah, they're Mark Twain, the whole Mark Twain, which by the way, I found the tune that they were playing. I was couldn't remember the name of that.
Job.
It was I knew it was a Scott Joplin rag.
Joplin's.
It was this is called the Pineapple Rag.
Pineapple.
I will not play the whole thing, but
yeah.
It's the Pineapple Rag by Scott Joplin, which is one of those fun little ditties. Scott Joplin was
jaunty
full of
little
them.
Ditty.
Yeah, so there was that. Okay, that plot
an
ends.
Early American composer.
Then the next thing is the crew has trouble with an alien, right? Mm. And so
typical.
And so for some reason, Rutherford and Boimler try to use their personal therapy tactics to solve this interpersonal dispute between Freeman and Kokor.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, but
it's pretty funny.
She's talking
like Foghorn Leghorn.
It's both funny that they offer it and thinking that it'll work.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
And it's funny that Captain Freeman's like, you know what? We'll give this a try.
I know.
Exactly.
That's just
just no question.
Right.
Like, okay.
We'll try it. Why would this weird specific thing work? Yeah.
We really need to look at this fucking nebula.
And the alien, an oscillating
nebula.
Oscillating nebula.
How do you oscillate a nebula?
Yeah. You nebulae. It's oscillating.
Folks, what you can do at home is you can look up the joke that starts, how do you titillate an ocelot?
Yeah. I think they can figure it out.
And
you can
either figure out the punchline or you can look it up using the old World Wide Web.
Yes. So
how do you titillate An ocelot.
Interesting. Observing an oscillating nebula. I didn't know that that was such a once in a lifetime thing. I mean, for us it would be. I didn't know in Star Trek.
I mean, it sounds
Star
it's
Trek.
Like it sounds like a made up thing.
So. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It seems in Star Trek they would have like.
I guess it depends on what the period of oscillation is.
It's like a Thursday. It's time to look at an oscillating nebula.
Yeah, well, that's a once a week, once in a week type thing, not once in a lifetime type thing, depending on who you are. They try it with the alien. Alien just ends up getting pissed off. But what the alien does like of their shared interest is the bonsai tree. Mm-hmm. Now, I should have seen...
Well, he likes it.
One thing that I'm getting to that. One thing that I always forget to do is when I saw that bonsai tree, I should have taken note and been like, that's going to come into play later.
Yeah, it was Chekhov's bonsai tree.
So,
and I don't mean Pavel Chekhov. I mean the playwright Chekhov.
Oh.
And the metaphor of Chekhov's
damn,
gun.
Damn, this guy majored in English.
Yeah, ruined college words. Like gun.
Pavlov Chekhov.
No, I always forget to do that when there's some seemingly throwaway item that they introduce for like some reason. You're like, oh, they introduced that and they're going to bring it back. Like, I always forget to do that. But yeah, the alien. So this is Jesse. You're right. The second misdirect, because the alien was first like
beautiful.
Kokar was basically like, on your. And it's funny. And it's funny. It's like, oh, they're playing the whole funny card because it's this big tough alien and he finds beauty in this bonsai tree. That's like, well, this is so predictable, right? But then I was honestly surprised when he ended up eating it. Maybe a lot of people weren't surprised by that, but
I think Boimler and Rutherford were surprised.
At first I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah,
like,
because, I was surprised. I thought maybe they were just going the standard route.
Yeah.
Little pony.
But they didn't. They went there, and that was the second misdirect. So then he eats it and is happy. And then, but this is what
except
I didn't get.
Except for that one little branch.
And then just to make him sad. For some reason, though, I wasn't quite sure why they were banned from being twain together. It didn't really make any sense. Like,
because I think they pissed the captain off.
They pissed the captain off, right?
I think
but,
that's what happened.
I mean,
she was like, you can't do that.
I mean, I see the relation between the plot and why they were banned, but when I looked at it deeper, it just didn't really make any sense to me. Why that would end up
it
in a
doesn't
band.
Make that much sense.
Captain
but I think
Freeman
they just
is
kinda,
mercurial.
Yeah, I think they just kind of pissed her off.
I mean, yeah, it pissed her off because you were like, this was going to work, and it didn't.
She
so
was like,
so you, she was like, fuck you guys.
You made me talk like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, so she was just being like, fuck you guys.
It's like,
yeah.
That's racist.
So, and then they just find another person to cosplay as at the end, which is Mozart. So yeah,
which is pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was all entertaining. It was just kind of like,
and they were like, these are really hard to play.
It was
yeah,
it was just kind of funny because nothing
keys
really...
are, they have hard keys.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
There's no dynamic barrier.
The ivories. Twin twains.
Dang. Harpsichords. You can't play like loud and soft.
Cannot stay.
You can only play like fast and slow.
That's why they're harpsichords and not piano fortes.
Yeah, exactly.
If you know what I mean, right?
That dog won't hunt.
So, like, harpsichord music, like, gets all like, they just, you keep playing like faster and faster.
Yeah, an exceptional compromise,
modulate
Mozart.
Your dynamics.
It's good for good for techno music.
Yeah.
I always like the harpsichord sound.
It's a nice sound.
No, I know, but yeah, it doesn't have dynamics. And that was like the piano was revolutionary.
It just, because
the harpsichord
plucks. Real funny. So.
The harpsichord plucks, and then the piano uses the mallet. Yeah.
Fucking hammers that shit.
Yeah, they hammer.
Bam!
And there's three strings that it hammers.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fucking strings.
It's a it's a more complicated mechanism.
So, yeah. So, like I said, the plot was just kind of like madness. It didn't really, like I said, nothing gained, nothing
one
lost.
One step beyond!
It was just kind of a... It was just kind
don't
of.
Touch this. Touch that.
It was madness. You said off the.
Yeah,
it's like Pee Wee Herman, except it's the madness alone.
Right. Don't touch. Watch this. Watch that. This is the heavy, heavy monster sound. The nutsiest sound around.
I like the song about the last train from London or something.
No, it was last boat to Cairo.
Last
train from
London.
It's night boat to Cairo.
Well, night boat to Cairo.
That's
by Madness.
ELO.
ELO is last train to London.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting my ELO.
There's midnight train to Georgia. Yeah.
Anyways, this plot line was just a romp. There was really nothing nothing going on except just entertaining stuff.
It was
which
funny.
Was fun.
It
was fun. It
was funny stuff.
Yeah. It was funny.
The Mark Twain stuff was funny, and they followed it up with like two Mozies. It was good.
Yeah, two Mozies. Right.
Us tickle the ivory.
Yeah, exactly.
Twin twines indeed. Mm-hmm. And we'd only be caught twixt and twine, two different sides of a break. So we should have a we should probably have a break. We take a break and then we come back and we do more discussion.
Yeah, there's a
I
bit
am
more.
But a humble crumb on the biscuit of your wit, sir.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah, there was a lot of that kind of stuff. That
there was
good,
a lot of
good
that
lines.
All right. Well,
Mark Twain.
We will go over some of those lines and a number of other things. Number of other things when we return from the break. Be right back. Okay, I'll just push the button and then we can get it.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be exact.
We're back from the break.
Okay, Jesse has declared that we're back from the break.
Oh, man, I went pee-pee. Ha-ha!
It's so silly. Okay. All right, we'll get back to the episode momentarily, but as I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, I just wanted to have a quick touching base on the whole listener email thing.
You said after the second break.
No, I thought I said after the first break.
You said the second break.
Sometimes people refer to the segment as the break, so this is during
the second break.
This is the second break.
Anyway, I'm going to do it now.
I'm going to shut the fuck up and just listen to what you have to say, because it's, you know.
The long and the short of it.
It's now the bottom of the hour.
This is not a specific email, but as for folks who did listen to the 200th episode, we had solicited, ahead of the 200th episode of It's Got Star Trek, we had solicited user comments via email.
Email?
As well as
submitted audio comments.
And we had
so many
because fucking child.
I knew you were saying fucking child before you even said it.
But we had so many that we can read them all. And
so many!
So in the intervening time...
In the meantime.
We have read a couple of them on the air. We said we'd try to catch up.
Yeah, we want to be respectful.
There were a number of emails.
There was not a letter of them. There was a number of them.
There are a number of emails sent in that were all just variations on congratulating us for 200 episodes.
Hell yeah!
Yes, which is now, we're now in, what is this episode, 207. So
yeah, man.
Some might say 208.
No.
Nobody would say that.
Some would be
that.
Wrong.
Because they counted the pickle one.
No, they shouldn't. It's not Star Trek. It's a good episode.
Someone might argue that.
No, but I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying they're right.
It's not Star Trek number one.
I know,
but we still haven't done a number two.
I know. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that it can be a point of confusion for some people.
Okay. Well,
anyone cared enough, which they probably don't.
I don't think so.
But the long and the short of it is that a number of folks congratulated us on our 200th episode, but they didn't have a specific question or other comment. So I'm just going to group all these names here. People, it's kind of like the Steve Wallace beer donation list. You know, people just want to see their names up on the internet. And so I figured, okay, we'll throw up some of the names.
Blast me with more moans!
All right. So people who sent us emails with some variation on, quote, congratulations on 200 episodes. All right. We have Jeff. No last name. Just Jeff.
Maybe it's Jeff F.
No, it was just Jeff.
Jeff F.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff F.
Margaret. Jeff F. Margaret Wallums.
Hi, Margaret.
Wallum.
Michael Hennessy.
Hi, Michael.
What are you saying?
These are people who said thank you for 200 episodes.
Just that's all they said was thank you.
Here's a goofy one. Somebody said sign their email. Jeremy's spoken. Which is a reference to the Pearl Jam, right?
It's quite a song, yeah.
You absolutely belong on the crime throne.
Next name in the list, thank you, Jeremy Spoken. Next name is Hamster Sandwich.
Oh, no.
Please don't blame me.
David Osternath.
That's what he is.
Friedrich Schultz. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It sounds like somebody from Germany.
Right now, I'm just a clutter sorter, but I'm capable of way more.
Next up is Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey.
Next,
you think it's the Baba Booey?
It was the Baba Booey.
The Baba Booey?
The Baba Booey.
Wait a minute.
The next was signed... That sense of stillness on a cold winter night 10 years after a local tragedy.
That was the name of a person.
I'm starting to doubt the authenticity.
No, these are all real people who wrote in and thanked us. The next person on the list is a fellow by the name of Henry Bones.
Beautiful.
And then you have Ellen Samich.
Does he know Ken Bone?
Ellen Samich, who must be related to Hamster Samich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next up, we have somebody who just simply goes by the name Arn Karn Narn Gnarn. then we have John Perkins, followed up by Aaron Gherkins, followed up by Tuggy Jerkins.
Wait, are these all three separate emails?
These are three different people.
Flimity Flam Flurkins.
The last one might be Tuggy Jerkins. I don't know if he's a Scandinavian fella.
You're making this up.
No, these are real names.
You're saying no, but you're saying
these people congratulated us on completing 200 episodes.
I'm not saying that the names are made up. I'm just saying like they all came together and they all happened to rhyme like that.
Googly Gigglins.
Next up, we have Molly the Lolly.
Wait. Can you repeat those last four rhyming last names?
Yeah, you had John Perkins.
Perkins.
And then Aaron Gherkins.
Perkins, Gherkins.
And then Tuggy.
What was that?
Tuggy Jerkins.
Perkins, Gherkins, and what?
Tuggy Jerkins.
Perkins, Gherkins, and Jerkins.
Tuggy Jerkins.
Yes, whoa. These are all real people. And then, additional real people include Molly the Lolly.
Okay, come on now.
Peter the Skeeter.
Okay, I get it.
Christopher the Mistifer.
I'm surprised it took me that long.
Christopher the Mistifer.
Yeah, Christopher the Mistifer, right. Right.
He spelled it Mistifier, but I don't think that's what he meant because it doesn't work with the pattern.
Greg the Snig.
And finally, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, who I'm given to understand was quite fond of Jesse's jibes, as she referred to them.
That means a lot.
Yeah, she just liked Jesse's little side comments that sometimes Dan and I don't catch preoccupied in whatever nonsense.
Who is that? Jupiler the Zupiler? Is that who said that?
No, that was Queen Elizabeth II.
Jupiter
the late. She sent that in early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right before she passed on.
Grandmama Boimler.
So anyway,
the Raisin Rats.
I just thank you to everyone. Thank you to all those folks who sent us in congratulations on 200 episodes. I just wanted to make sure some of those names got out.
But you're seven episodes late.
A cool duvet keeps the Raisin Rats away.
They sent them in well in time.
Oh, this is just
especially
extra.
The Queen. The Queen sent hers in what, like July?
Oh yeah. Well, maybe she's been dead for like a year and a half.
Wow, she sent it in last year. She just assumed we'd
or
make
a year.
It.
Yeah.
She sent it in around episode 170. I think around Shadow Play. When Dan started doing the sound effects, that's when the Queen sent us in preemptive congratulations on 200 episodes.
Well, that was really quiet.
Okay.
Chief O'Brien!
Oh my god!
Quiet too loud.
Chief O'Brien!
That was just right.
Oh my god, you're some Goldilocks motherfucker.
Evidence!
Balana's on it.
All right. Let's get back to business. We thanked our listeners.
Yeah, thank you all those totally non-made up people. I appreciate that. Especially Perkins, Gherkins, and Jerkins. Those are my people.
Tuggy Jerkins.
Jerkins
from Norway.
Yeah, yeah.
Stevie Squeevies.
Thank you.
All right.
And done.
Indeed.
I said no, Mr. Rutherford.
Sam the Sham.
Let's get
where
back
are the
to Pharaohs?
Business.
Let's get the back Pharaohs. To business. We'll get back to the old Star Trek
dominant
podcast
seventh
business.
Chords.
Talking about Star Trek shows, and the Star Trek show is an animated show.
Now I'm thirsty for mist.
All right.
So do we want to go back to the Tendi plot?
Let's talk about the Tendi plot.
That's the A plot.
Because even though it focuses on Tendi, of course, she's the main person. There's also the whole, you know, Talin and Mariner involvement. Mariner is actually in this episode sort of her, she's the most ancillary, whichever pronunciation you prefer.
Ancillary.
The murder bug drinking game?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was like really creative. It was
totally.
a surprisingly creative spin on a drinking game that you have to, the motivation is to not get bitten by the bug. Like the only way you bring up the shield is by drinking the shot. That was pretty cool.
And
I
then
was into
that was like she faltered and like something like just held her hand down.
Who? What?
Yeah, she didn't make it in time, and so it like
something came out and like
something came out.
Madam G.
Oh, okay,
so
I didn't.
It
would have
guaranteed
that.
so she couldn't pull her arm back if she, you know, she wanted to.
Clever.
It's good world building. They had to do so much world building because they were going to Orion, a world we've never visited, and Orions were introduced back in the fucking cage, and now we know more and more of them from Discovery and from
Enterprise.
Enterprise has that.
There was a joke about it.
Yeah.
Did you think the planet was... Do you think Orions are green because their planet is green? Or do you think the planet's green because Orions are green?
You're asking all the philosophical
shit. I heard that it wasn't easy to be green.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Mm-hmm. Or being green, I should say.
What do you think that this sound... Are you just playing the episode? is that our new gag?
Just play the episode.
Hey guys, we got this new gag where we just play the episode.
It's got the entire sound clip.
I need to make sure I normalize all these sounds before I start playing and really get my volume levels down. Sorry. That was a programming note that the audience didn't need to hear.
Yeah, but they heard it.
Yeah. I normalized my other sounds, but these sounds have not been normalized. I should have. It was a last minute addition.
These sounds have not been normalized. Got it.
This sound of a last minute addition.
It's a little bit of a last minute addition. Yeah, apparently.
So it was
last
too loud.
From what we understand.
It was too loud, and then it was too soft, and then it was too soft, and then
Goldilocks.
And then we make a Goldilocks joke again. We've done this before.
Yeah, because before it was too soft, then it was
just
too
about
loud.
Every episode, I think.
Before it was too soft, then it was too loud. This time it was too loud, then, or was it? It doesn't matter.
We've lost the bleeps and the sweeps and the creeps.
Bleeps, the sweeps, and the creeps.
Okay, so so Orion, that was a green ass planet. That was first one thing I know.
Do you think that's how they got them green asses?
I just asked that. Yeah,
yeah. That's screen... a philosophical. Yeah, I mean, you put it in a somewhat less philosophical way, Jesse. But that's what Dan is asking.
Yeah.
And my response to you, Dan, is while I find the question intriguing, I do not know that we have enough data.
Are the Orions capable of photosynthesis?
That's a good question, because in a lot of sci-fi, that's the thing they do. They add add some chlorophyll, like in the
chlorophyll, more like borophyll.
Hardly knew her.
That's a Billy Madison joke.
I know.
I was making a John Scalzi reference.
Okay.
Who his Old Man's War?
Oh, that's hipster
series.
Shit.
There's some.
Yeah, mine was much more highbrow than yours.
Yes, it was much
the
more
Billy Madison reference.
All right. Yes, go read John Scalzi's Old Man's War.
And go watch Billy Madison.
Actually, read The Android's Dream. If you're not sure if you're going to like Scalzi or not, pick up The Android's Dream and read that. I think you will be able to figure out from there whether or not you want to continue.
And then pick up
you'll want to continue.
Pick up the novelization of Happy Gilmore.
Don't do that.
I don't think that exists.
It probably does.
I don't think it does.
All right. 10D Star Trek Orion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Ma, what up?
Even though we get to see way more of Orion than we have ever before, it's not like we see everything, right? So I do look forward to hopefully learning more down the line. We get to see a lot of Tendi. We did learn a lot about Tendi and her family background.
What? No way.
I really enjoyed the fact that her father's name was Bert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you look it up, it's spelled B'RT.
Yeah. This was an episode that I watched, one time I watched it with the captions,
Bert.
And one time I didn't watch it, so I got to see, like, actual words that you know.
I thought that Noelle Wells...
And Bert.
Yeah, saying Bert, play that, like, 5 times in a row.
Bert.
And Bert.
Bert.
Listen to how she does that.
Bert.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. Bert.
She's such an excellent
That's a non-English
voice actor.
Sound. Yeah.
And Bert.
Bert.
It's brilliant.
Bert.
Yeah.
Audience at home, if you think it's not brilliant, you try it out.
No, I agree. I think it's
a hard thing to do. The burr.
Absolutely.
It's like a sheep sound. It's almost like a sheep bleating.
Bert.
Or a goat.
Yes.
And Bert.
Right? It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I was into it in a big
for
way.
Those
little
that things. Are cloven of who?
It's those little things that make this episode this show. Such a great show.
High-level talent. These were the Orion names I picked up. There was Divana, of course.
Of course.
Then there was De-Erica.
Hilarious.
And then there was...
Bert.
And then there was Shona or Shana, I can't remember. Then there was Madam G. And then there was Nya'al, which was her, like...
That was just Nile.
But it was spelled... it was spelled N-Y-A apostrophe A-L.
Yeah, of course. Instead of N-I-A-L.
I didn't remember how it was pronounced. I thought it was pronounced Nya'al, but it was just Nile.
I think they just pronounced it like you pronounced
anyway. So that was her that was Erica's moan junkie ex-boyfriend basically. And then there was Ingrita, and Bones. So those are the names I picked up.
There was also a Deborah.
Oh, was there a Deborah? I believe you.
I think it was. She was one of the people, one of the sorters on the Orion ship at the beginning.
Well, it was interesting. So Divana, De-Erica, Bert, I get it. But then the mom was just Shona.
Yeah, maybe because she's the head of the whatever, who knows?
But she didn't have the apostrophe name.
Yeah,
you know?
they don't all got it. You know, it's like the Vulcans. They don't all got it.
It's like when they do like the three names, like Huey,
Dewey, and Hluey.
Those all rhyme, but sometimes they throw you...
Perkins, Gherkins, yes, and Jerkins.
Flurkins.
Sometimes they... I can't think of an example, but sometimes they throw you off. Well, they'll have three rhyming names, but then the fourth one, the last one is some completely different name. Yeah. You know, they play that joke sometimes.
That's a good gag.
Yeah. Like, it would be like Zap, Flap, and... Zap, Flap, Dap, and Joni or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And they're all brothers.
Did you come
sisters.
Up with that example just off the top of your head?
I just remembered it, actually. I didn't come up with it. I discovered it.
You discovered it in your memory palace.
Because when people come up with mathematical equations and things, they didn't invent them. They discovered them because they were pre-existing.
Well...
As some philosophers
bit,
might.
That's a bit of a hoax, I think.
Yeah, it's arguable. It's definitely something arguable.
Yeah.
But are you just specifically calling me out and telling me I'm full of shit?
No.
Because I might be.
I'm just being silly.
You didn't call me a piece of shit. You discovered that I was a piece of shit.
I used the scientific method.
Yes, you did. Empirical based. Empirically. Yeah.
And also ethnographic observation over the course of 30 years.
I studied evidence and data over the past 30 years.
Evidence!
Or at least the past 25.
Right.
Yeah. Her family. Her family is cool.
Yeah.
It's another rich family, but I don't mind it. I did allude before to...
Billups was like royalty. They were mega mobsters.
But in some fashion, they were there's a functional similarity in terms of being a powerful family.
It's the same kind of like old school.
Mm-hmm.
Elite.
And they call that out here. They call out explicitly the comparison with Billups. But as I referenced earlier, I think a better analogy is Ezri Dax in season 7 of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, do you think that?
Yes, I do.
I think he does.
Can you please explain yourself?
I will explain it without spoiling that episode. In short, Ezri is...
Is it because of something with her family?
Yes, she goes back to her family, and it turns out that her family is involved with the Orion Syndicate, and...
I wonder if they knew Shona.
I think it would be very interesting to be, maybe they bring Ezri in via Tendi in some fashion or other. Ezri's probably a captain at this point.
Do you think they knew...
Grandmama Boimler.
Do you think they knew that?
I don't know if they knew
it's
Grandmama
Boimler. It's like Grandmama Boimler used to say.
You just want an excuse to play that
cold duvet.
Grandmama Boimler.
That's kind of like on the same level as the other one. That's like that's like this one.
Daddy daughter dagger dance. Daddy daughter dagger dance.
Exactly.
During the daddy daughter dagger dance.
I was hoping you would bring that one.
That's actually a beat.
Daddy daughter dagger dance.
That is a
beat. Daddy daughter dagger dance. Daddy
daughter
dagger dance.
Other beats.
There's a few beats in this.
I've got a few beats.
Yeah, well, now's as good an opportunity as any to lay down some of those beats with a Z.
Well, there.
Lay it on me, Dan.
Click them all together. Click them all at once.
Lay it on me, Dan. Lay it on me, Dan.
I already played this one. I don't. Some of them I don't know if they actually are defined. Actually. Qualifies beats, but
the murder bug drinking game. The murder bug drinking game.
Really one.
Bert.
For some reason, I think I just like that really one.
Bert. Bert. Daddy daughter dagger dance. 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 Daddy daughter dagger dance.
It's right.
A lot of it. A lot of it. A lot of it.
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 Lot of it. Lot of it. Lot of it.
Sorry, sorry, had to steal ship. Sorry, sorry, had to steal ship. Sorry, sorry, had to steal ship. Sorry, sorry, had to steal ship.
Daddy daughter dagger dance.
Yeah, these
sorry,
are...
sorry, daddy, had to steal ship. Dance. Sorry, sorry, had to steal ship.
Daddy, daughter, dagger. Dance.
I haven't bothered to practice these.
For
so
the audience at home,
what
you don't realize this is these
pretty
periods.
Good.
In addition to being entertaining, these are good opportunities for Jesse and I to get sort of like our own little mini break.
Yeah,
in between.
Please,
the
let me support my number one Orion
breaks.
Amiga. Let me support
look
my
at
number
the phone,
one Orion Amiga.
Check the headlines.
Let me support my number one Orion Amiga. Let me support my number one Orion Amiga.
I know you're saying Amiga as in like a friend, but it makes me think of the Amiga like. Computer.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hey, that was
you
a hilarious ancient system.
You strict people? You strict people? A lot of it. You strict people? A lot of it. You strict people?
Some of the funniest parts. Yes.
You strict
daddy,
people?
Daddy daughter dagger dance. Daddy daughter dagger dance. Daddy daughter
you
dagger dance.
People?
Daddy daughter dagger dance. Daddy daughter
you
dagger dance.
People?
Okay,
you strict
so
people?
the daddy daughter dagger dance
yeah.
was an instance where Mariner was accidentally stabbed.
Yeah, there were four instances.
Exactly. Right. She kept getting stabbed.
Yeah,
in the
I
same
know.
Place.
It was funny because in the first one, in the bar slit throat was the first time when Tendi was greeted by her friend,
Madam G.
No, Madam G was like, no, this that wasn't Madam G. I think that was in Greta or something.
Well, in the bar when she got stabbed, the bartender said, "Oh, and this is from Madam G." And then the knife came and Tendi backed up and it went into Mariner.
Yeah. I thought, well, who was her friend? Who was her friend person that they were like when she was like, "Let's get brunch later."
That was the same person. That was Madam G.
That wasn't Madam G.
I'm not gonna
was it?
Call
was that? Yeah, yeah. I thought Madam G was like an elder kind of person. Was it?
No, yeah. That was at the bar. Okay. The old lady.
No,
the
that
older,
was at another.
That was at the at the Moan Bar. The Moan Bar.
The Moan Dungeon.
Oh, the Moan Dungeon.
No, Madam G was older, right?
No, I don't think
was
so.
Was Madam G that young, the young
yeah,
one?
Yeah, she mentioned going to high school with her.
Okay, okay. Yeah. You're probably right. You're probably
she
right.
She was dressed
okay.
as Madam G. Yes.
Okay, I will Madam submit. G.
Submits.
So
you will submit.
Submit.
You will submit, sir.
So, but it was funny because she—that's how she was greeting Tendi, was by throwing a knife at her, essentially. Yeah. And then Tendi dodged it and went into Mariner. The next time, oh yeah, the next time it was in Greta that threw the knife, but she threw it at Talin yeah. this time because Talin insulted him, as she interpreted. This time, yeah. Talin dodged it. And Mariner yeah. got it.
The Vulcan's always going to dodge.
And the third time was Erica threw it at Tendi, and Tendi dodged. It didn't go at Mariner, but it bounced off the wall.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and the fourth time was funny because this was like the rule of threes, but then the fourth time...
It was like off camera.
It was off camera. Yeah. We just heard about it, and of course it was during the...
Daddy Daughter Dagger Dance. Yeah,
so that made absolutely. It funnier. So that was I thought that gag was put together pretty well.
People did know. Notice very
totally
rapidly
dog.
On the internet, there's already an errata...
no.
What?
An errata?
Yeah, an errata.
Like that's where it's at, baby.
Erotica?
No.
Not this is not this is
an
a standard
E-R-R.
Errata. This is not an erotic errotica.
E-R-E-R-R-A.
No, an erotic. It's not an erotic errata. It's a regular old errata.
Okay.
Which was in the bar. They also had the additional clever joke. Not quite a hat on a hat. Well, maybe getting close. Where
was it? An ass hat?
No.
Is an ass hat a hat made out of ass or a hat for your ass?
I believe we went over this in like episode 79.
I think we
something.
Went off
which
this
hat.
Off.
Which hat are you wearing now, sir?
I am not wearing a hat. I'm wearing
You're wearing an ass hat.
Oh no, Jesse's discovering pieces of shit about me. Are you sure we? Because sometimes I think you accuse me of saying something already, but it's really a conversation we had off mic, and the audience wouldn't be aware of that.
I find it interesting that you chose the adjective, verb, adverb. It's not really an adverb, but you chose the word accuse as opposed to say describe.
Well, I'd say it's
a reference.
I say it's an accusation because you're like, you already said that already, dude. Get the fucking out of here with your bullshit.
I think I took an adversarial position.
I don't.
Patrick
think,
most certainly did.
I don't think my tone reflected.
So maybe I should, you know.
I think it was cool. Just, you know, it's all good.
No, I mean, when you say, like, you already said that, man, that implies an adversarial nature.
It does not necessarily. Maybe in your world.
Well, no. When you accuse somebody of saying you said that already, you're basically saying, don't say anymore because you already said that. That's what you're saying. No, I'm not crazy for thinking that.
No.
How
no,
many
you're
times?
Not crazy. I'm the crazy one.
No,
for not predicting
no.
my attempt.
No.
To save time.
No, how
not referencing something we've discussed before.
How often do you say how
would not in fact backfire?
How
which
how,
it has.
When you say you said that already, do you mean to say keep saying it? No, you're saying don't say that because you've said that already.
And I'm freely admitting now that whatever strategy I had initially failed, it backfired, and we can get back to talking.
My point was is are you sure we didn't say it off mic?
I have no idea. I'm guessing we might have said it on mic, but I don't know. We talk a lot on mic and off mic. Sometimes it's the two conflate in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. That is a fair point.
Now he's trying to put a fire out. He sees the smoke. He sees the smoke, and now he's just trying to like, no, don't start that fire.
He's gonna whiz.
Get the blanket. Get that thick blanket.
Yeah.
Not the duvet. Jesus.
Oh. Anyway, you were...
I don't remember what I was saying.
Speaking of...
It's probably not that important. I'm talking about the... I know what I was saying. The errata.
The errata. Not erotica.
You know, thinking back, it could be that it's erotic in some circles. Okay. I don't want to kink shame anybody if this happens to be erotic for you.
You strict people?
In the bar, when Mariner first gets stabbed with the throwing knife stabbed, mm-hmm. and then she takes the knife out, and the bartender just is casually holding out a bowl full of knives.
Oh.
And Mariner says, "I don't even mind. It's you know, it's part of the whole ambiance or whatever." Mm-hmm. You know, that's a funny joke.
Mm-hmm.
Except,
Oh no,
they're in an Orion bar. It's populated by only Orions. why are all the knives in the bucket have the red blood on them? All the knives are covered in red blood, like human blood.
Do you think that was a do you think that was a mistake, or do you?
I think that was a mistake. I don't think orange. I think Orions have some other kind of blood.
Yellow blood.
Maybe you could say maybe we don't know 100%, but I don't know.
They got purple blood.
I didn't find this. I didn't notice that. I read it on IMDb, which I'm given to understand stands for the Internet Movie Database, and they have a little section.
Hell yeah!
I've heard that's true.
Like errors or whatever.
Errata.
Mm-hmm. But yes. Anyway, that was one thing that some people noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially problematic.
Those people suck.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking back to the Beats, and the problem with this software is I can't press two buttons at the same time. I can press one right after the other. And so it's really hard to make beats when you can't press two of them at the same time.
Yeah, that's... monophonic.
I wasn't able to make
serial instead of parabolel.
Yeah, in a way, because you can still play them on top of each other. You just can't execute them at the exact same time, but you can still play them over top.
But they can be like a millisecond apart.
Yeah, so I can play.
Give us a demonstration.
So I can do
good sir.
So I can do this.
Daddy, daughter, dagger dance.
Sorry, had to steal ship.
Yeah, and that sounds crazy.
Yeah, and that's together. But if I press them both at the same time,
sorry, had to steal ship.
It only plays one of them. Mm. So I have to play them one after the other, and to make a proper beat, you need to be able to.
Yeah,
anyways, I'm disappointed with my ability to make a beat this week because I think I really nailed it last week. So I should practice these.
Yeah, that was good.
I should practice these before. That's how.
But this episode was ripe with beats.
See, here's the thing: is you don't stress over the mistakes you made. You see how you do them better next time. So next time, I'm going to prepare the beats a little better.
And you said you're going to practice?
Yeah.
You're good enough and you're smart enough.
Yeah, I did practice one thing. You want to hear something
people
I practiced?
Like
I do want to hear the one thing that you practiced.
I actually played it already, but I'm going to play it again. Okay, so this is the thing that I practiced from last time.
Then let us tickle the ivories!
Twin twains!
Dang, this thing is really hard to play.
A house divided in twain cannot stain.
But you can...
I practiced that.
You can play piano.
Well done.
Thank you.
So if you played piano, you can play it.
Yeah. You're right.
Man, just throwing around all sorts of accusations. In Dan's world, anything you observe is an accusation. You just accuse Dan of playing the piano, being able to play the piano. All right, how about this?
I found it out.
I won't even get mad that people talked over my performance.
No, we
okay.
thought your performance was really wonderful.
No, they talked. People talked over it, though.
What do you mean people talked over it?
While I was doing it, people talked over
I'm
it.
I'm not people.
People talked during my performance.
Okay. Well, you can always reprise. It's reprise, right? We can always reprise.
Reprise.
You can reprise or reprise.
Mm-hmm. Either way.
Reprise or reprise. Again.
Again,
whichever your preferred pronunciation is,
again.
We're mm-hmm. comfortable with that here on the It's Got Star Trek podcast because we
whichever
believe in
process,
edict, okay. infinite diversity in infinite combinations.
So
and that includes reprises or reprises
mm-hmm.
of things we've done earlier in the episode.
So when we get back, I'll play it again.
And we'll attempt not to talk through it. Is
okay.
that going to be the plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
When we get back from what?
We're going to take a break, motherfucker.
Oh.
Okay.
I stand corrected.
All right.
Motherfucker.
We'll do the break right now. And then when we
We're
get back.
We're going to take a break, motherfucker.
We'll reprise. There'll be when we get back, there will be some reprisals.
I'm sure their heads will roll.
And no talking.
Be right back.
Then let us tickle the ivories.
Twin twains.
Dang, this thing is really hard to play.
A house divided in twain cannot stain.
There, I did it.
Well done, sir.
Thanks, guys.
You're great.
I appreciate you guys. Jesse, I appreciate you. Patrick, I appreciate
really?
You.
Really?
I appreciate you, Dan.
I appreciate myself.
I appreciate you.
At least once a day.
Whoa. Hey.
So if you guys had access to a holodeck program, who would you be?
You keep asking this question. You're really
holograms.
Interested. Now.
Solve your,
what do
holograms?
You mean? Who would we be within? Like, would we pick somebody within the Star Trek milieu, or
hologram.
Would it just be? Would be? Could we be anybody?
Any,
holograms.
Any sort of figure.
Because you said you would be Lyndon Johnson.
What did I say?
You accused. I'm sorry, not accused. You made the you made the assertion that we would be into Lyndon Johnson, and I was like, I don't know.
I think that was one of the options, and I there was somebody else.
Okay. Who would I be in? I would be I don't know, someone like really cool.
I'd be Freddie Mercury.
I'd be a Tyrannosaurus.
Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, that's what I'd be, as a Tyrannosaurus.
That's pretty cool.
That's good.
Yeah. Would you be a feathered one or one of them fancy made up ones?
You got
ones?
Them little hands.
I'd be one of the made up ones from the early books.
The early books? I don't know what that means.
You got all those.
Do you mean that book from the 1980s that had like pictures of dinosaurs? Photographs of dinosaurs?
Yeah, this is. We actually did have this.
Walking among giants.
We actually did have this conversation on the podcast before.
Are you going to Chompus?
Chompus. Is that like Krampus? It's like the chomp. Is the Tyrannosaurus
Krampus?
Krampus.
Is Chompus. No, we actually.
No, it's like Chompus.
We actually did on an earlier podcast, we did have a conversation about 19.
Krampuslauf.
We had a conversation about an early or 1980s drawings of dinosaurs that children read and were educated upon and looked totally different than what we have now.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would be one of those. We did have that conversation. So I can say
that sounds right,
definitively,
sir,
that we
yes.
have discussed this before.
Yes.
But yes, I would be one of those.
I would not challenge that assertion.
Mm-hmm. What would you be, Patrick?
I already said what I'd be. I'd be Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah, you did.
At Live Aid. Or no, at Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be having a good time at Wembley.
What was the question?
You asked the question, man.
Okay.
What would you be, Jesse?
That's right. He's one of those people who asks questions but then doesn't answer them on his behalf.
You absolutely belong on the crime throne.
Crime throne.
So we don't get an answer from Jesse. This is not fair.
Well, he can think about his answer for a little bit.
Okay, think about your answer.
Well,
please,
we talk
Jesse.
About.
Maybe I'll answer the next episode.
Let's talk about.
Yeah, you got to keep him on more. You got to tease it out.
Yeah. We got to talk about the things we haven't yet discussed about this episode. There's a lot.
There's a lot.
At least on my list, there's a lot. The Moanheads. I like the, you know, the pheromone.
Blast me with more moans.
The pheromone heads and the moan heads, M-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Learned a little bit more about that.
And all I have is my stink.
That was gross.
Oh, no.
How many knots can you tie?
That was good, too. Mm-hmm. But with the pheromone thing, it was interesting because there was a
my foot.
They clarified something. And I think we discussed this a few seasons back because we've covered all the Lower Decks from right at the beginning. We talked about how Tendi mentioned that not all Orions do the whole pheromone thing, which was the implication they introduced in Enterprise, because in Enterprise they had Cat Marcher and other men. It was an episode called Bounty, and we discussed that episode long ago. Go look up our episodes. I don't know,
not that long ago.
It was fairly long ago, I think. This is the debate Jesse and I have, a long-standing debate Jesse and I have, is like, how long ago did we do the episode Bounty? It's a problematic episode, but...
This is of Enterprise?
Yeah, it was the one where the Orion, quote-unquote Orion slave girls, it turns out, they use pheromones to control the men, and then
there was a joke on this episode.
Yes, and the thing was is that earlier in, I think it was season one or whatever...
Yeah, they were talking about how it was made up, but then it was actually...
Not that it was made up, Tendi, because that was...
That's what Tendi kind of said. They said that Starfleet made that up, is what Tendi...
No, but she didn't, and that's why I found it interesting that they're kind of... the show was entering into the conversation with fans here, in the sense that when Tendi originally talked about that, she said, not all Orions do that. Mm-hmm. Or like, not all of us do that, or something to that effect.
Well, okay,
lot of fans interpreted that as her saying it was totally made up.
Well, okay, this is the line that I think Mariner said. Mariner said
Mariner says that, not Tendi. Yeah. Tendi corrects her.
Okay, Mariner.
Mariner misinterpreted.
Just for the record, so we have it all documented. Mariner said Tendi's made it clear that Starfleet made those pheromones up, and then she says, "I mean, they had to explain why a captain would get taken out by some Orion sugars." I don't know who said that.
Mariner said that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. And then, yeah, Tendi says, technically I said that not all Orion control men with pheromones. Some of us definitely do, just not me. Okay. Well.
And you're reading, is that script from Chakotea.net?
No, because Chakotea doesn't have the newer episodes. This is just a transcript web. Yeah, this is just a transcript.
You've mentioned this before. This is another thing we've discussed before. Mm-hmm. That one's on me.
It's unfortunate because Chakotay also is not HTTPS. It's only HTTP. Which
oh, so your browser freaks out every time?
Yeah, but maybe I'm sure it's fine.
.net is I'm not stealing all your info.
I mean, I'm not sending them any data unless they're somehow stealing my data.
Maybe they're scoping out your machine.
Well, they're not trying to install
your workstation.
Anything, maybe, but they're, I still use them.
They're creeping into your workstation.
They just get with the time.
They're scraping your workstation, Dan.
Yeah. Well,
scrape station.
Oh, that's gross. I don't like thinking about that.
It's pretty gross.
Is that like an area of a spa?
Oh, yeah. It was something to do with feet and genitals. And
You can go over here or you can go to the scrape station.
Meet me at the scrape station.
So speaking of...
It's right next to the crepe station.
Right after lunch.
How do you think they made the crepes?
Get your crepes and get your scrapes.
Speaking of Enterprise,
Perkins Gherkins.
I was never speaking of Enterprise.
We were speaking.
No, I was actually.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Let's go back on.
Tendi says, "I might not be a pirate, but I've rerouted my fair share of EPS conduits." Now, we talked about Stormfront recently, the Enterprise episode, and that episode they referenced EPS conduits twice.
I bet they did.
The first time they said Enterprise's EPS conduits got fried. I think that was when Silic fried it, and Trip Tucker was like, "They fried our EPS conduits." And then
Charles Trip Tucker the third.
Yeah, Charles Trip Tucker the third. Yeah,
T'Pol,
Florida man.
T'Pol.
I just don't Captain.
Where would I stay?
That's great. But then the second time.
Connor Trinneer is like a national treasure.
Yeah, really.
Well, I had no doubt about that.
But then later in that same episode, the shuttle also crashed because the EPS conduit didn't get fried. It got fused. And that's when Trip Tucker III and Mayweather landed on Earth. So I was just thinking about how in that episode they kept talking about EPS conduits and here they go talking about it. So
EPS conduits is always coming.
That's
up.
What I'm saying. It leads me to believe it's always around.
It's just like
they're always talking about
You got
EPS
your EPS conduits.
Conduits,
you got your isolinear rods,
what
and
is
or chips.
An EPS conduit. An EPS conduit was a part of Starship's propulsion systems. The conduit would take small amounts of plasma from the warp core or impulse engines and redirect it throughout the ship for use in powering other systems. Speaking of plasma, remember when Boimler had to clean up the holodecks? Do you think that was alien plasma he was cleaning up from those holodecks a couple episodes ago?
I
think that was alien plasma. Okay. Because of their holosuites, you know what they do in the holosuites.
Well, there's aliens on the crew, if that's what you mean, but the humans are also on the crew.
Yeah, but it was
there's
green.
There's a lot more
I know, but
humans.
It was green, and you know what they do on holosuites. They fuck on the holosuites. And so I'm saying it's plasma.
Who does?
In Quark's holosuites, they fuck. Quarks. And so I'm wondering what the holodeck shit that Boimler was cleaning up. Yeah. And it was green, so I was like, well, that's not all human plasma. It must be an amalgamation of different
now you're talking about
species plasma.
Plasma?
I mean, why are you calling it plasma?
Because that's what it is. It's plasma.
It's not plasma.
Yes, plasma. You, it's plasma.
You're crazy.
Yeah, it's another word for, you know.
You're goofy. Next important things, because this podcast can't go on forever, contrary to popular belief.
I hope not, sir.
The human seminal plasma. It's a thing. It refers to semen plasma. That's what I was referring to.
Oh, you meant semen.
Yes, that's what I meant.
I thought you were talking about like blood plasma.
No, because they have sex in Quark's holosuite, so they leave.
Yeah, but they have sex in all sorts of holodecks, not just Quark's.
And that's the point I was making, which is why Boimler
I
was.
I just don't know why you're bringing up Quark at all.
The reason I was saying because plasma, I was just reminded when I used the word plasma, and I was reminded how Boimler had to clean up the holosuites, and he was cleaning up all this green shit, and I was like, what is that green shit? And I was like, it's the plasma of multiple aliens. Plasma is semen. Remember Quark's
plasma is semen.
Remember Quark's holosuites?
Soylent Green.
That's what I'm not getting.
If you would stop and listen to what I say for a moment, it would make sense to you, but you're not listening.
No, I get it. Plasma is semen.
And
there,
but then you're like, why were you talking about holosuites? I was talking about it because you were like, what are you talking about, semen? And I was like, remember Quark's holosuites? They're always fucking in there, so they were probably fucking in this one too, and they were creating plasma.
I get it.
If you just listen, it's very easy.
No, you know. Okay. So I'm trying to read my list, but I'm giggly. So my eyes are all squinty. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all giggly. I got squinty eyes. So I'm trying to look at my notes here.
Where would I stay?
I like that Talyn is curious and kind. She's a kind person. Mm-hmm. We are learning more and more about Talyn, even as she's just sort of hanging out or assisting or bouncing off of other people. But
Talyn's a good addition to the
team.
Yeah,
she's excellent.
She's inspired. She inspired Boimler last episode, and this episode was Tendi.
She, of course, has the very famous, not famous, one of us famous, soon to be famous, I thought an impactful line that Dan probably has recorded and that I've probably put it at the front of this episode because it's the one that makes sense to put it at the front of this episode.
I don't think I did. I think there's only a couple of them.
Well, it's the one where she says, you know, you are who you get, who you choose to be, you know, like you're not told what you are kind of thing. It's all about Tendi being able to pick her identity because Tendi was saying you saw the real me and they're like trying to explain, no, it's that's not the real you. That's what society is trying to put on you. The real you is the science nerd.
Right.
On the Sarita, the Starfleet lieutenant.
Their emotional closeness is unpleasant.
And it wasn't that one.
No, that was not the inspiring, thoughtful, emotional line.
They're doing another thing with Talyn where they're having a fun Talyn line. Last time the fun Talyn line was when she was talking about, when they were talking about Tuvok and Tuvix, she was like, I can't remember the word she used.
She was referring to his quarters.
Yeah, his quarters.
Are his quarters sufficiently or particularly that was Spartan, maybe.
Spartan?
Did she say Spartan or Spartan?
She didn't.
Like that.
She said...
are they austere?
That's austere. What they say. Austere. That's the one.
That's a better word. That's why they're professional writers. They come up with words like austere.
Right. And so that was that was Talyn being fun. She's like, oh, is it austere? I can't wait.
I thought you were going to bring up her whole water obsession.
No, I wasn't. Yes. Okay. Look. Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh my God, my computer's going crazy. Okay, let's do it.
I've caused some problem for you. Just referenced Talyn's the running gag. There is a clear running gag.
Okay,
that Talyn
is
a hydro homie.
So this is the fun Talyn line.
I hope we will be allowed to view their aquifers.
Precisely.
Yes, right.
She wants to review. And in the last episode, she ordered water, room temperature. Water. I think that was the last episode. Mm-hmm. I think in pretty much every episode, there's some joke with her and water.
Yeah.
She's always drinking water.
And the other joke, one of the jokes that I take from it is like there's always this moment of her like showing her true fun side. And her fun side obviously is very, you know, kind of plain. Even, I didn't record it, but even Mariner, after she said that, Mariner was saying something like, Talyn's having fun. Or something like that. What was the line? It was, I can look it up for you. It was, okay, Talyn getting rowdy. That's what Mariner said after she said that. So basically, Talyn
was getting rowdy.
Yeah, so between room temperature water, being psyched about austere quarters and the aquifers, Talyn is a party animal, as we all know.
I liked that Tendi's family, the whole deal was. That Tendi's family was maybe a little annoyed or disappointed or whatever in Tendi not fulfilling her expected social and familial role. But she wasn't like disowned or anything, right? Mm-hmm. I think we so often see these stories where it's like, oh, my family disowned me because I chose this other path or whatever. And they're not doing that here. That's great. It's like, no, you can have a family where people are not like 100% jibing with each other, but they still love each other and care for each other.
Yeah, she sort of like tried to disown her own family.
Exactly. It was more coming from the opposite direction.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, which you'll probably do less of after the events of this episode and after the advice of Talyn to say, hey, you know, you can be whoever you want to be. And that includes interacting with whoever you want to be and having relationships with your sister, et cetera.
So I was a little bit, well, it was fine. It wasn't a big deal. But when Tendi and De'Erica were fighting, Tendi, they were talking about like, De'Erica was like, Tendi was the, I can't remember the
prime?
The prime, but also the constellation blade child or whatever.
Yes, the winter goddess.
She had a cool sword.
And Tendi goes, I didn't ask for that. And De'Erica says, neither did I. And then De'Erica says, you forced this on me without asking. Running to Starfleet was your choice, but it meant all your duties fell on me.
Duties.
The issue I had with that is like, yes, it was Tendi's choice, just like it could have been De'Erica's choice to like leave as well. And so I thought that that was like a little bit of a weak argument onto Erica's part.
I disagree. I think it's an actually very, I'm not taking a position necessarily on the argument. I think it's an interesting thing to point out that, yes, it's of course important for you to carve out your own identity, and you should, but that doesn't mean there won't necessarily be an impact on other people. And in this case, so- and it's not, I wouldn't argue that that means you shouldn't do it, but it's more about be aware that that's that you don't live in an you're not an isolated system, right? But, you're in a web of people and relationships,
right? But what Tendi pointed out, and actually even before that, leading up to that and into that, De'Erica was like, I didn't ask for that. This,
yeah.
And Tendi said, I didn't ask for it either. Neither of them asked for it. Tendi made the choice to leave. It did fall. Her actions did have an effect on De'Erica for sure. But like, Tendi has nothing to apologize for that, and she did. And De'Erica really has no reason to be mad at Tendi. It's not fair.
I disagree because I think it was made clear in the episode that the whole point what Tendi was apologizing for was not so much leaving, but not even having a conversation with her sister that it was going to happen. The implication is she's just like, fuck y'all, I'm out of here. And so did her sister have any chance to prepare mentally? Did she have any choice in the matter at all? And again, I don't necessarily disagree with your position that, yeah, Tendi has every right to do what she needs to do. I do like the idea that they've brought up that that doesn't mean that you shouldn't at least consider and take it and maybe make some adjustments or whatever.
I would say yes.
Because otherwise you're being selfish potentially.
Okay. I would say that yes, Tendi should have at least said, gave her some warning, but beyond that, she didn't. Oh shit.
I think it's I think where I have a critique of this section of the storyline is just that it's such an interesting idea, but they didn't give it any time to be examined. Mm. Right. There was no plot examining it. There was not even any exposition really examining it. It was just a real quick dialogue, which works. It's great. But it is a really interesting thought because I think it's a nuanced difference. It depends what decision you're making. It's not as simple as, like, I wanted to join this organization or not join this organization. It would be a very different story, for example, if somebody was leaving their family because their family disagreed with, say, their sexual orientation or something like that. That's a different storyline than I have these career options and I've selected this particular career option. It's not no less important necessarily, but I'm just saying, like, there's so much that could be discussed there that in an hour-long traditional episode they could have gone into more and shown more of the different sides and pluses and minuses.
I would have been interested to have more opportunity to explore like the Tendi De'Erica relationship. That is the part that I would
too, yeah.
Because like I said, yes, she should have said something, but beyond that, to me, like, she should have been aware that it was going to have an effect, and she should have said something. But beyond that, you know, I don't know. But you're right. Yes, there was other aspects of that that they could have explored as well if they had more time.
It's an interesting debate, but the debate, to have any meaningful debate on it, you just have to understand the context much better, and I agree with you. Understand what their existing relationship was, more context around the societal expectations in Orion culture and the family and pluses and minuses and all that other stuff like that. Again, I'm not taking a particular position on it. My default position would be like, fuck you all, I'm going to do what I want. But I also respect and find intriguing the idea of saying, okay, if that's the baseline, there are all these like little potential caveats that you go in there if you want to be a good person and not be potentially be selfish and not and causing harm to other people because of doing something you want to do, even if you're fully justified in wanting to do that. We didn't get to see that in this episode because
there's
a more brief comedic thing.
Yeah. Ultimately, nothing should have prevented Tendi from leaving. Ultimately, that should be her choice, and that she shouldn't feel guilty about leaving. She should just feel guilty.
No, I can imagine a number of scenarios where you could feel guilty.
I understand why she would feel.
What if the government murdered her family?
I'm not saying
it would suck.
No, look, I know we all have emotions and stuff. Yes, we feel guilty about things sometimes, reasonably, sometimes unreasonably. Sometimes it's hard to decipher. Just saying, like, just to repeat again what I kind of just said already twice, is that ultimately, it was her choice, and she shouldn't feel bad, but she should have mentioned it to De'Erica.
That's your position. That's a very good position. My point is there is a number of other potentially defensible positions that we can't really investigate because they haven't given us enough time and information to really have that conversation in a meaningful way, because that context really does matter for these types of plot lines and philosophical examinations of exactly this question. Is like, what is the exactly. What is the role? There is no right or wrong answer. It's a philosophical question, and people are going to line up on various different sides. And
my answer is the right answer.
Exactly.
Is Dan a bitch?
My subjective answer is objectively truth.
And that's
people say that shit a lot. They're like, this is objectively good. It's like, what the fuck? What does that even mean?
I'm just saying. Yeah. But exactly, in order to avoid that,
it's become hyperbole.
We don't get the opportunity. Like this show, sometimes just like TAS, sometimes they touch the edges of some really interesting philosophical stuff. It's in there, but there's not the time, and the format just kind of doesn't necessarily fit some of that. They can still get pretty fucking touching and pretty fucking interesting.
Hey Jesse, do you want to touch my edges? You want to touch my? Hey Jesse, what are you doing?
This is that character that Dan keeps trying to make happen.
Touch your what?
And you everyone's like, that character's not going to happen, Dan.
You want to touch my edges, Jesse?
Your edges?
You want to touch my? Hey Jesse, what are you doing? Do you have time to touch my edges?
I'm doing a podcast.
Mistress of the Winter Constellations. Yes, we find out we didn't really know why she was called that before. They just gave a side reference to that in previous episode, yeah. Right?
Now we know more.
Now we know more about it.
A little bit.
Some sort of family.
A little bit.
All right. Let's talk about that ship. You know, it's I call it the series arc. Get it? ARK? The season arc? The
mysterious ship.
The season arc?
That fucks everybody up.
She's the tip of the moonlit blade. She was the. She's the tip of the moonlit. The tip of the moonlit blade
now, is it moonlit or is it moonlet?
It's moonlit. Tip of the moonlit blade is the greatest duty of the mistress of the winter constellation. The tip of the moonlit blade.
you keep saying the word tip.
Tip of the moonlit, not let.
He did it again.
Being the tip of the moonlit blade indeed. Is the greatest duty of the mistress of the winter constellations. We are learning so much. Excellent. Okay, you were talking about Ark and made a funny joke related to that.
Not that funny. It was not actually that funny a joke at all. The ship, the little white ship that keeps, that keeps zapping people.
Oh, the ship. Yeah, the zap ship.
First of all, I don't think I'm starting to buy into the argument that's surfaced on the internet in various places that the ship is not killing these people. I'm starting to buy into that argument.
I don't. I mean, okay.
It makes it look like they're like being vaporized.
Yeah, it looks like they're like being like melted away.
I think
unless that's light time space trickery or something.
I think they're being beamed away or turned into holograms. I don't know whether there's something.
It's just
happening.
A very messy beam.
I think
holograms.
I think we're gonna see all these people again. As we've seen previously in Lower Decks, their vibe tends to be more 90s Trek style, where you usually don't have some sort of crazy antagonist or whatever. It's not Discovery. Yeah, it's.
It's not like the
ending galaxy.
It's not like neighboring galaxies attacking this galaxy. Yeah.
And Discovery is good. That's a tense show.
It's intense.
Every season is very intense.
The universe is falling apart in every season. Kind of in Discovery,
but
I think
they're probably going to end. It's going to be one of those more Star Trek-y endings to this season, where who knows? Maybe they are an antagonist, but I'm thinking they're not an antagonist, as in they're murdering all these people all on these low level ships. It's going to turn out to be there's going to be some twist.
I want to see a callback to the Center of the Galaxy people from the Barclay episode. That's what I want to see, but that's not them. They brought people to
the
them.
Nth degree.
Nth degree
is the name of that episode. So we discussed that episode on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We did. So do you think these guys are going to be a new alien that we've never heard of before, or do you think it's going to be an old alien?
That I couldn't tell you. I think is a trickier thing to determine.
Tell me if you think this is an inconsistency with that scene. The ship was going away from them, all normal horizontal ship style, and then the shot cut to the Orions, and then when it cut back to the vessel, it was suddenly all vertical style. We didn't see the transition from it going horizontal to vertical.
I think it's some Ferengi.
I think... Okay, that's not what I asked, but... My question was, Do you think that that's a continuity error that they didn't show it transition from horizontal to vertical? If you watch it, it's horizontal. It cuts to the Orion. It cuts back to him, and suddenly it's vertical. I think know, that might be a continuity.
We already know, we've already seen this thing, and we know what it does. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's just
I mean, yeah. Maybe they did. Maybe they just had to cut some cut a few seconds because it doesn't come down to that. Yeah. That's viable. Ferengi, what was your question about the Ferengi? I don't think it's the Ferengi, Jesse.
You don't think it's the Ferengi?
I don't.
Who do you think? Who do you think?
Do you think they're like, well, why would they be collecting people like that? You know,
maybe they're collecting them for one of them menageries.
Do you,
for profit?
Do you
for, like one of, for one of the thousand top 1,000 menageries in the galaxy?
Do the Orions have any insignia that we know about?
I am Alpha Quadrant.
I am asking because
They got some insignia.
So they didn't do the thing in with the Klingons and the Romulans where when they blew the ship up, they showed the ship with the insignia close up. They didn't.
But this time they showed the captain's chair.
They didn't show the insignia. They didn't follow that same pattern with showing a piece of ship shrapnel with the insignia on it. So I was wondering if we just have never seen a decent Orion insignia before.
Well,
and so
I know
that's
we've
why
seen
they do it.
Orion writing. I think there's some Orion
but
insignia.
But I don't know that we've ever seen on their ship like a flag type thing. So I don't know why they didn't show it this time.
I don't know.
Maybe they were like, this joke's old. We don't need to do that again.
The Chalnoth, who's what was his name? Kakarot?
Kakor.
Kakur?
Kakor?
I am from South Chalnoth.
Yeah. He was a reference to TNG's Allegiance, which I think was a season 3 episode. That's the one where Picard gets kidnapped with the other aliens for some observational experiments.
Yeah.
And there's that Chalnoth character named...
Pray I don't change my mind.
...named Isok. But this guy was... He was a bonsai-eating motherfucker.
Yes, you are very intimidating.
When he said, pray I don't change my mind, it's kind of like, he's not taking any responsibility for his actions when he says something like that. He's like, pray that I don't change my mind. Like, I don't have control over it. Only the gods have control over what my mind does. I mean, so you have to pray that it's like, well, just don't do it, man. I shouldn't have to pray, just don't do it. But that's just a way of talking tough. He's just talking tough.
Those types don't usually follow through.
You'd be some assholes out there.
Dan. He's just talking tough. He's just like
some assholes out there in the real world.
He's like, you better hope that I don't change my mind. It's like, well, it's up to you, man. Change your mind or don't, but don't tell me to pray to a god that you won't change
for
your
real.
Mind.
There's some assholes out there.
Take some agency, have some responsibility for your actions. Don't blame others for your actions. Just don't do it.
There was a character named Zooto on the Orion ship. That's the one that gets zapped by the mysterious ship.
Blast me with more moans!
Oh, no, that was a different Orion.
I guess she was the first officer, because the captain's trying to, you know, order the mysterious ship down. The first officer was designed to look exactly like Naomi from The Expanse, Naomi Nagato.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, it had to be on purpose, because it was so identical, her character design.
Whoa! Maybe I'll get some of those, too!
Maybe
I will when I take over a ship. Right now, I'm just a plunder sorter, but I'm capable of way more.
I really got that one guy a lot.
Yeah, you really like that one.
They look awesome.
That was a different. I was trying to find if I had any sound clips of her. I guess I didn't.
She only said one or two very brief things. Any other thoughts? Any other odds and ends? Any other comments? Any other sound effects? Otherwise, we can call it a show.
I thought it was fucked up that Freeman presented Tendi's trip to Orion as a present, but really they were just using her for political purposes.
That was
part of the course.
What the fuck is a raisin rat? I looked it up, and the closest thing I found was it's a kind of food item that people make.
A raisin rat?
It's a rat made out of raisins.
A cool duvet keeps the raisin rats away.
Yeah, the raisin rats.
Yeah, because he grew up on a vineyard that made raisins.
I know, and he's talking about raisin rats, and I looked up raisin rats, and the best I got were recipes for a pastry called a raisin rat.
But I think there's just raisins that come in each.
What about when you're just raising rats, you know? Like,
maybe
you
got, he was
like
just
a rat farm, you're raising rats. It's like, what is your profession, good sir? Well, I'm raising rats.
Well, then that sentence.
A cool duvet keeps the raisin rats away.
So you're keeping the act of raising rats away by
I mean, what's a duvet?
What's a duvet?
In the context of that line.
I get it. It's a joke. There's raisin on a raisin farm. There's rats. The raisin
duvet
rats.
Is like a thick blanket.
Oh. I know what a duvet is.
No, but Jesse asked what a duvet is.
I didn't know.
You didn't know what a duvet is?
Jesse sleeps on a fucking burlap sack.
Jesse,
Civil War style.
Jesse, you know all sorts of stuff that I don't know. Like
all about. That's the thing.
That's. That's the thing.
Jesse sleeps in a pile of bricks.
Yeah, man.
Lightly covered in corn flour.
We find out that Andorians have like really nice
sheets.
So their materials are good. Which I looked on Alpha Memory Alpha. Memory Alpha, and this is a new piece of canon starting at this episode. Oh. Raisin rats. There was something else I was gonna say about something, but now I can't really remember what it is, but I'm sure it was really
important. Some people argue that it may not be important if you can't quite remember it.
I just think my brain forgets things.
Well, if it forgot it, then
I know that argument. How about
we do the old Murphy's Law thing where I attempt to end the show and then halfway through it you'll be like, Oh yeah, I remember. And then you'll introduce us to whatever this idea was, and then you'll apologize for it not being as exciting as you thought it may have been. Let's do that. Okay. All right.
Yeah, well.
So that about does it for us this week on the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That has been the 207th episode of the Star Trek. It was the Star Trek podcast.
Of the Star Trek. Yeah,
it's got Star Trek podcast.
No, now you're stressing me out because like I'm trying to remember. What
next week.
No.
Next week.
Oh, I remember. I remember.
Next,
I remember.
Next week.
I remember. I remember. And it's week. Super important.
We will discuss.
Oh, wait.
Oh, Dan, did you remember?
I remember.
Did that work?
I remember.
You look so pleased with yourself.
When Tendi was being carried around on that portable couch thing, she referred to it as a sedan.
Even though it's a litter. Isn't it a litter? Or is a litter only if it's enclosed?
How do you spell that?
A litter. L-I-T-T-E-R. A litter.
Not like, it's like a litter of cats?
Yes. Or a litter that is used to carry a prominent person.
Well, okay. She called it a sedan in the episode. She actually
said... Sometimes
says,
it's just a chair.
She says, oh, I think we can skip the sedan, is what she said. Yeah. And like, up until now, I thought a sedan was a type of car, you know, which I don't know that they really... Do they make sedans anymore?
Well, a Corvette is like a ship, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, when you look up sedan, it's over. Your overwhelming responses are for cars, but it actually means, historically, there's another definition, and it's an enclosed chair for conveying one person carried between horizontal poles by two or more.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But that's an enclosed one. What about litter? You look up litter while I try to close up this.
Well, litter, I don't even know about this litter.
I'm asking you to look it up as a favor, sir.
Didn't you say litters are enclosed?
No, I was asking if they were enclosed, but maybe the sedan is what's enclosed and a litter is not enclosed. Maybe a litter means something entirely different.
Well, I was just saying that, okay, I'll look it up, but I was just saying that a sedan is apparently something...
You look it up, and I'll make the attempt to...
It's trash, a group of young animals, it's to make things untidy, archaic, it's provide with litter as bedding, a horse or other animal... I don't see anything a litter about... Oh, wait. A vehicle containing a bed or seat enclosed by curtains and carried on men's shoulders or by animals.
Yeah, see, a litter.
Okay, this is...
But that's enclosed.
And it's more of more of a housing. This, a sedan is just a portable chair with a top on it or something that you carry people
who
with.
Who says you don't learn anything on the It's Got Star Trek podcast? Not me, not this
I never
week.
Said that.
I say that all the time.
Next week, we will discuss Lower Decks Season 4, Episode 5, which is titled Empathological Fallacies. maybe we can expect some Betazoid shenanigans or something similar.
To Erica, I always loved science. That was my path.
Because I only believe in science.
I don't believe in God. I believe in science.
Sorry, that's totally stupid.
What's that from?
That was from Nacho Libre.
Oh, okay. See, I only saw
There's
that
another
once.
Line. He's like, I hate all the orphans in the world. There's another line.
All right. Well, next week is empathological fallacies.
Empanada. What? Is
it empanada fallacies. Yeah. That's what I said. In the intervening time, you can get in contact with us and join in the fun. On social media, pretty much everywhere, at itsgotstartrek.com, or at itsgotstartrek, so it's Twitter, and Blue Sky, Facebook, and Instagram, and Threads.
Did you see how Kokor fucked Shax up? He just fucking tossed them aside. Badass.
YouTube, we're on YouTube. Definitely subscribe to us on YouTube, even if you don't listen to us there. Why not subscribe? It's helpful. You can like and subscribe. You can rate and review. That would be good. Reviews would be good, especially on iTunes, if you wouldn't mind.
All I have is my stink.
We should do a contest where we got some of this Lower Deck swag from the premiere thing that I got to go to. We should give some of it away from...
Yeah.
We'll pick people randomly who leave
I wish I could have gone to that.
Reviews.
That sounded awesome.
We'll go to the next one. But yeah, you leave us some reviews. That would be cool.
That means a lot.
You can also write us at feedback@itscottstartrek.com. That's where you can send any complaints. And itscottstartrek.com is the website. It's the easiest place if you want to send yourself or somebody you know.
Type in Itscott Star Trek.
One of the cool things you can do there is you can sort the podcast by series, because we've covered episodes from every series. We've covered some movies, some general topics, etc. There's a whole list. Go through the menu, and you can if you only want to listen to the Voyager coverage, then those are the episodes. You can click on the Voyager and
they look awesome.
Listen to those episodes. So that's the website, www.discussstartrek.com. So
Grandmama Boimler,
that's it for this week. We look forward to talking to you next week. until then, have a lovely time. Goodbye.
I don't know.
Please let me support my number one Orion Amiga.
Okay, sure, why not? Maybe it'll be good for you guys to see what my homeworld is actually like.
Hell yeah!
Triple threat, girls trip!
I hope we will be allowed to view their aquifers.
Ooh, okay, till then getting rowdy.